Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure BioSpeed Clean Vacuum Cleaner. Save $200 on this powerful vac that doesn't have a cord and is bag-free. To save an additional $20 with free shipping, put in code word HOWIECLEAN at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Following is a public service message from Pathological Liars Anonymous.
Could you answer the question? Do you have an estimate of the property damage during the summer riots?
I know that we had one night of rioting in the district.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, that's it, ticket.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Georgia Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock told NBC News, quote, I have never been opposed to voter ID.
With these unnecessary and unjustifiable voter ID laws, which constitute, in my estimation, a poll tax.
He can't face that. That it was his failure. And he creates a lie. A big lie.
When you tell one lie, it leads to another. You tell two lies to cover each other.
Then you tell three lies. Oh, brother, doing trouble up to your ear.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. We've had a few phone problems today, and the weather's been kind of weird. So I'm going to take a couple of calls to kind of catch up, and then we'll go on to our next topic here on the Howie Carr Show. We got the VIPs are in today. You having a good time, everybody?
Yes, absolutely.
How about that Kowloon's food?
Delicious.
Really good stuff, huh? 844-500-4242. Mary Lynn, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead. You there?
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Yep. Love your show. I've been listening for years. Just calling with a little enjoyable story. I'm sure the listeners will love to hear how grateful some of these welfare recipients really are. I've done home care, as I said, for years, decades, really, and many patients stand out in my mind, but the one I'm going to bring up this time is a 45-year-old great-grandmother. Okay, six kids. And lives in obviously a rented house that we're paying for, a very decent home, which she couldn't stop complaining what a dump it is. I was seeing her, you know, she had a minor medical problem, all things considered, and it was just nauseating having to sit there and listen to her complain and look around and realize that she has never worked a day in her life, everything's free, and she's a great grandmother on top of it at the ripe old age of 45.
I can't even imagine that. I know an old blues song, I think by Sonny McGee and or Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, I guess it is. It's called Teenage Granddaddy. And I always thought that was a funny song, but I never thought there were, I mean, a great grandmother at 45. That's amazing, Mary Lynn. Oh, I couldn't take that kind of service, home care service. Thanks for the call. Justin, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you something about all these people that are being paid not to work. Who's paying the taxes? Because I can guarantee they're probably not getting taxes taken out of that unemployment. And what's going to happen when they have to claim all that and the IRS turns around and says, you owe us thousands of dollars? You know, they're going to turn around and say, well, we can't afford that. We want a tax break.
Well, right. Justin, it's the same thing they're saying about this, about the moratorium on evictions ending. They're saying, oh, I can't pay. Wait a second. Your rent hasn't gone up, and you're making more money now sitting on your ass than you ever made working. And why are you going to be evicted? Why are you out of money? That's what they're going to say. Justin, what they did, though, at one point, they said that the first extra $10,200 you get, you didn't have to pay taxes on it. But you're right, Justin. They're getting a lot more than $10,200. They're gonna end up having to have a bill. And then you know damn well that the squad or somebody is going to introduce some legislation having a forgiveness for it. Just they want their student loans forgiven.
I think that first $10,000 came with a caveat, though. If your salary for the whole year, your last income tax return was over a certain amount, it wasn't tax-free.
I'm going to guess that there's going to be an attempt to change that law. That would be my guess. And it will have more than 100 sponsors, all of whom will be members of the Democrat Party. Thanks for the call there, Justin. That's a good point, though. I mean, they are going to owe money. I mean, at some point somebody has to pay the tab here. They're going to keep printing the money. It's going to be our kids and our grandkids and our great grandchildren if we're over the age of 45. 844-500-4242, 207. My mother had a worker that helped from time to time in her daycare under the table. She had 3 trade degrees and training so she could keep her welfare. She just went through it and didn't work. I mean, that's the whole scam. We've talked about this before. Tom Wolfe wrote a whole small book or a large magazine article about it. It was called Mau Mauing the Flak Catchers. And it was just about, it was back to the Bay Area that we were talking about earlier. These anti-poverty groups would try to get control of the job training programs. You know, nobody wanted the jobs. They wanted to be in the job training programs because that way you just had to go and get training. And you just keep getting training over and over again. And he wrote that book in 1970. And in 1988, the same scams were going on when Dukakis was running for president. He was claiming that the Massachusetts job training program was a national model. Remember those words, national model? And it was all BS. A Democrat state senator, I've told this story before, I think his was Artie Lewis from Jamaica Plain, got the list of the people who were taking these job training programs. And there were like 50,000 of them, but it was about 5,000 names. It was the same people going through over and over and over again so they could stay on welfare. And the Campbell brothers, you know, the father and the uncle of Andrea Campbell, who's now running for mayor. I mean, they wanted to take over the job training program in Roxbury, and they shot up the rival ex-cons who were running the job training program, killed 3 of them. And they were all going to be tried, and they got Johnny Matarano to kill the one witness against them, a guy named Ronald Hicks. And, I'm not putting Andrea Campbell down. You know, you can't be the daughter no more than the son is guilty for the sins of the father and the uncle. But, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, these are generational scams that are being brought back here. Job training programs, paying people to have kids. And again, I remember when Dukakis was running for president, it turned out there was a guy from New Hampshire who came down here to Massachusetts and got the welfare department to pay for his sex change operation in Montreal. Remember this? This was like a huge issue in the last years of the Dukakis administration.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
They sent him to Montreal. He was from New Hampshire. Massachusetts sent him to New Hampshire for the sex change operation and to get all of his therapy afterwards. And then when we found out about it at the Herald, all the Democrats were running away from it. Now they're supporting it. They want to do it for, you know, anybody who wants it, who was in the military is going to be able to get a free gender reassignment.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I didn't address you as anything. Ma'am, call yourself what you want. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Here's a quote from a recent lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal. The president's economists are predicting the return of stagflation. Remember stagflation? We had it 40 years ago under Jimmy Carter, along with the misery index. It came back with Barack Obama in 2009. Stagflation crushes your retirement savings. The economy doesn't just stagnate, it regresses. A dollar buys less every month. You can already see it in the headlines. Inflation triples, gasoline prices spiraling, Democrats pushing huge tax hikes on income and capital gains, the Fed's printing money they don't have. So what are you doing now to protect your money? Well, many turn to GoldCo, the leading gold IRA company in the U.S. and 4-time Inc. 500 winning company. With an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of 5-star customer reviews, you can trust the team at GoldCo to help you protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr or call 855 855- 972-9718. 855-972-9718. That's the dedicated phone number for Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can take control of your own retirement. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay and fall victim to another stock market crash, inflation hike, or dollar decline. Visit goldco.com/Howie Carr to get your free IRS loophole guide today. If you visit goldco.com/Howie Carr or call 855-972-9718 now, Goldco will give you up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to $10,000 in free silver. I'm Howie Carr.
So we can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Howie Carr is back.
Taylor's looking for Teenage Granddaddy by Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and can't find it. There's some stuff you just can't find. I mean, it's hard to find, you know, Martin Mull and the Fabulous Furniture, the Happy Birthday song. I've never been able to find that one either. I love that one because
I've got homework tonight. Then
you check it out. I don't know. I was like that. That Happy Birthday one was, it's my birthday. Hey, who brought the Budweiser beer? That just cracked me up. There was a guy from UNC that I knew who played in his band, the Fabulous Furniture. So I saw him one time in Central Park. He was a funny guy, Martin Mull. Anyway,
he still is.
He still is, right. I just haven't seen him for a very long time. Today's poll question is brought to you by Goldco. Stagflation is making a comeback. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can protect your wealth and take control of your retirement. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is free money good or bad for most people?
It's really bad.
94% say it's bad.
Really bad. Okay. 844-500-4242. This is just a funny column that was in the Wall Street Journal the other day by a guy named Andy Kessler. And he lives in California. And as you know, the California opened up the same day we did here in Massachusetts on the 15th. And I think if what he says is true, the cult of the mask is hanging on in California a little more than it is here in Massachusetts. But yeah, he had a pretty funny column about it. I'll read it. And if you've had some experience with people who are hanging in on the masks, because there are people, the dead enders, as I call them, that they're just you can read their comments in the Globe comments section. You know, well, I'm just going to wait a few more months. You know, what about those people who are immunocompromised? What about them? Okay, so you're not going to be passing it around, and so you can't get it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't stop wearing a mask. I don't know why people have to go to work. I have a trust fund. You know, I mean, it's just insane, these people. But anyway, hey, this is Andy Kessler. He made a trip to Trader Joe's on the first day the mask requirement was out in California to stock up on ultra chocolate ice cream. The parking lot was practically a showroom for Teslas and Priuses. I guess that's the plural of Priuses. I counted 50 shoppers, 49 masked. Did these people not get the unmasking memo? I was the only one not wearing a mask, and I was loving it. California's operating on an honor system, and though I'm fully vaxxed, I wish I weren't. Lesson learned. And he's talking about how the lottery prizes were going up for the vaccine lottery, and he says, lesson learned. Next pandemic, I wait to get paid. That makes two of us, Andy. Maybe those 49 maskers haven't yet been vaccinated. The adage is, to find the next measles outbreak, find towns with Whole Foods supermarkets. Those places usually have high concentrations of anti-vaxxers. That adage could probably apply to Trader Joe's, too. I think that's definitely true. As I made my way past the wild arugula and baby spinach, the rabbit food section, I noticed many shoppers giving me the stink eye. But come on, It's not like I had 11 items in the express line. I didn't think anyone, I don't think anyone was smiling at me under a mask, though I was beaming ear to ear. Freedom feels good. Isn't this true? It doesn't feel good?
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? As good as it feels to be in a market basket with no mask on, you know what? It feels even better to be in a Whole Foods. Because when you're in a Whole Foods, you're a rebel. In market basket, you're just another guy. In Whole Foods, you are a rebel with a cause, not without a cause. So the guy, Andy Kessler, continues, what bizarro world had I entered? Mask mandates were over, and yet here I was in some weird anxiety zone for the masked who continue to feel they are in perpetual danger. It was as if I were sullying some sacred, pure living temple by breathing freely. Were these 49 shoppers simply Linuses unwilling to let go of their security blankets? Or were they more like robotic Stepford Wives, pre-programmed and obedient? I will admit to muttering sheep and lemmings, among other things, under my breath. So then he says he had to go to Safeway for some double stuffs because he hates the Trader Joe's generic Oreo cookies. Sure enough, I was the only unmasked person there too. Buying Oreos takes me a while because I'm always fascinated by the different flavors. Golden, birthday cake, carrot cake, really? I've even heard of limited edition cheerful vegan flavor, Lady Gaga inspired Oreos.
Wait, did you say birthday cake?
Yes, birthday. You. He found it. This is Martin Mull and the Fabulous Furniture. See, it's a good band.
Blow out the candles, make a wish to come true. Happy birthday to you. Open another bottle of that Budweiser brew. We bought it special for you.
Oh, God. That was good stuff. Here's another one. I'm tired of rock and rolling, so let's get married and go bowling. It's another one from Martin Mull and the Fabulous Furniture. Thank you.
I'll send it to you.
Any luck with Brownie and
no luck
and
there.
Sonny?
Nope.
You know, those blues guys, they did about like two albums per week there when they were in their prime. And so I guess this is one of the ones that didn't quite make it. I saw them in Nashville one time. I couldn't believe how good they were. They were amazing. I would have, you know, if they were still around, I couldn't recommend them any more highly than I would. Anyway, this is about the Oreos. I always stare at the choices, but always get mint, especially this year, since those enterprising Girl Scouts didn't come around with my Thin Mints, despite their 15 million box surplus. Returning to normal is going to take a while. Maybe the Trader Joe's shoppers are actually saving the planet, and I should be grateful. Or maybe, like Japan, masks are here to stay as a sign that we do care about others. That's okay. Do what you want. Just stop giving stink eye to the rest of us. Exactly. Stop giving stink eye to the rest of us. Leave us alone. 844-500-4242. Have you had a problem getting stink eye from some of the Cult of the Mask members? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I'm just looking at Fox. Harris speaks after voting rights bill block. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Has anybody seen Joe since Champ bought the farm there? Oh, that's a serious question. I have not seen him.
No, you haven't. You haven't seen him. But again, Taylor, what makes you think he thinks Champ died? He saw a picture of a German Shepherd in the paper and on the obituary page, and he said, I didn't know Rin Tin Tin was still alive.
Just saying, it's been a few days.
It has been. It's Tuesday. When did we last see him? Saturday, maybe?
I think Saturday, yeah.
He's
usually we're up to our eyeballs in Biden cuts by now.
Right. He's catching up on his power naps. So I guess Kamala was standing by in case she could break a tie, but I don't think she was needed to break a tie. So I think I'm breathing a sigh of relief. You know, I mean, it's pretty scary when it comes down to the it's that close. You know, I always quote the Duke of Wellington is talking about Waterloo, a close run thing. I mean, this was a close run thing. Same with the filibuster. And, you know, we lose this. We lost. It's over. It's over. And can't let this happen again.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke.
What's the Duke of Earl doing?
He said the Duke of something, so I just thought I'd.
The Duke of Wellington. The Duke of Earl, that reminds me, of course, of Michael Stanley Dukakis. He of the nationwide searches and the national models and the temporary income tax surcharge, which was only going to be for 18 months in 1989. And finally, in 2020, it went away. Which, you know, as much as that may irritate and disgust you, it's still better than the tolls coming down, because the tolls were supposed to come down in 1988 and they're still up, and it's 33 years later after they were supposed to come down, after the bonds were paid off. It's the hackorama. And someone's going to text in and say, well, the toll booths are down. Yeah, but it doesn't really count if they've still got the gantries up there. And I don't mean Elmer gantry. It's the gantries that are reading your transponder. 844-500-4242. See if you can. I don't think you're going to be able to find Teenage Granddaddy tonight, Taylor. I just
doesn't look like it. I'm going to have to look for it in the record shop at on a 78.
I think I went to this wedding in 77, and then I came home because I really appreciated him, and I bought an album, and it had Teenage Granddaddy on it. So that's, but it's, I don't see it. I was looking during the break and I don't see it either. Of course, I've looked for it before and I can't find it. So, but I couldn't find Birthday either by Martin Mull, but you found it. All right. 844-500-4242. Have you had any trouble with the mask police? Of course, the prophet of the cult of the mask is Saint Anthony Fauci. I don't know if he's Jesus or John the Baptist. Or Peter or Paul. I'm not sure where he fits in to this new religion, but he's definitely one of the founders. And so there was a great piece last week in a couple of weeks ago in the National Review about Fauci and about how he put his scam together and about his whole career. And they talked about when they in March of last year, when the whole scam was getting started, on March 16th, the Trump White House called for 15 days to slow the spread of the virus, a lockdown. Remember that? The 15 days? It ended in Massachusetts, what, 442 days later? The White House Coronavirus Task Force was meeting regularly and issuing daily briefings at the time. In the Situation Room, economic advisors began presenting their models and predictions for the economic effects of lockdown to the task force, including the leader, Vice President Mike Pence, and the president. What the advisors reported was shocking. Just 4 weeks of lockdown would lead to millions of Americans unemployed, extreme burdens on the public purse, and the greatest one-month contraction of the American economy since the Great Depression. A health advisor present says that as the lights went up following the presentation, the faces on most of the advisors in the room were ashen. The gravity of what had just been said, all of which shortly came to pass, seemed to have stunned everyone into silence. Except one man, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, immediately turned to Vice President Pence and asked a question that appeared to dismiss not only the imminent miseries of lockdown, but the relevance of the entire subject of the proceedings. I'm still in charge, right? More or less, Fauci was still in charge, and he still is. Fauci was cast as the face of America's best pandemic response, the one figure who took it seriously. Fauci was the anti-Trump, possessed of a, quote, quaint fondness for facts and evidence-based science, according to the New York Times. And he started out on the AIDS crisis. That was his first big scam. Even though he, by the time AIDS hit the public scene and became a scourge, he'd already been at the public trough for at least 15 years, amazingly enough. Fauci's conduct during the AIDS crisis seems to have been repeated in COVID. The prioritization of a vaccine over therapeutic treatments, a refusal to take bold action in the face of a crisis, and a bureaucrat's comfort with a slow process of updating guidance, even as people languish or die. The saving grace this time was that the vaccines came through remarkably quickly. Fauci is an unusually hardy and long-lived survivor in Washington. Again, this is the National Review. But the people who look at him merely as America's doctor or mere public health advisor may not quite understand the power wielded by the National Institutes of Health and his agency within it. NIH dispenses up to $32 billion a year for biological and medical research. Money talks, right? BS walks. Those grants are necessary not just for worthy scientific research, but desperately needed for researchers' academic job security. In the U.S., biologists and other medical researchers whose grant proposals are approved are usually expected by their universities to cover their own costs, including salary for research teams. So they always go along with what he says, because that's the only way to keep the money going. He was never elected to anything, and he's never really succeeded at anything. He's a bureaucrat. And yet he controls all this money. Long and various chains of professional interest will come together under a cloud that rains down $32 billion a year. And this cloud may help us to understand strange fact patterns. Here's one fact. After Trump promoted the idea, Fauci repeatedly rubbished the use of the common, cheap-to-produce drug, hydroxychloroquine, as a therapeutic or prophylactic for COVID-19. A second fact, studies conducted in North America of hydroxychloroquine's effectiveness in treating COVID are 3.4 times more likely to report negative results than studies of the same conducted anywhere else in the world. There is no obvious casual connection, but would you want your lab's name in the hot, glaring sun, embarrassing America's doctor? Or would you want it under the fat federal cloud that rains buckets of money on you and your peers? So in other words, nothing is on the level. Science is about as on the level as the Registry of Motor Vehicles or the Massachusetts State Police or the Department of Public Health when Sonia Farak and Annie Duquesne. That's what they're saying here. With all this money at stake, there is almost no public jousting and argument among scientists and researchers. There is just sliding from one position to another when it becomes safe. Long after these shifts take place, CDC guidance often comes to incorporate them. Credible scientific evidence about outdoor transmission of the coronavirus was negligible. Was available in late spring of 2020, even as newspapers were still shaming people about being on beaches. Remember in Miami, the Miami Herald columnist, I hope all those DeSantis and Trump and whoever the mayor is in Miami, I hope they die on the beaches because they're so irresponsible. Remember that? She didn't get fired either. But CDC guidance on outdoor activities and outdoor mask wearing didn't change for a year. We've long had evidence that children under 12 are far less likely to get seriously ill or die from COVID than they are from the flu. The scientific evidence is all there in the open and that children are basically safe to gather together. But the mysterious scientific consensus hasn't developed to the point of making it safe to say this in public. So they all know it's safe, but it's not safe for them to say in public because they want to protect their grants. It's as if doctors are afraid that pointing this out will make them vulnerable to accusations that they are providing aid and comfort to COVID skeptical parents, and even more importantly, to President Donald J. Trump. Lord, 844-500-4242. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve. You there? Nope. We're losing him. All right, we'll take a break and come back if you've got some calls. I got some more to read on this story from National Review. Fauci says, like any good scientist, that he is just responding to new data as they come in. He was only following orders. How did that work out in Nuremberg, by the way, that defense? Not well. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, Fauci is like a small-time Francis Collins, who's the director of the National Institutes of Health. He said the genome mapping in 2000, by 2015, we'd have cures for just about every disease that exists. Now he's the head of the National Institutes of Health. They're all in it for the money.
Yeah, I was just, one of the VIPs was just saying the same thing. He works in the federal bureaucracy. You're right. I mean, they're all multimillionaires from this, aren't they? They've just really benefited. They get the patents. They get to keep the patents, right? When they and they're being paid on the government payroll, and you know how much he's making. He's making the $412,000 more than the president of the United States is making. It's really something, and And the fact is that none of these scientists, or very few of them, would take him on. I mean, there were the occasional Marty McCary, Scott Atlas. And I mean, their reputations were slimed for going after him. And Alex Berenson, the former New York Times reporter. And the story continues because of the strangely quiet and slippery consensus among scientists. And again, it's all money. It's pretty clear. Fauci, and it's not his money. It's not like he's some kind of philanthropist. He's using our tax dollars here. Fauci's public critics have tended to come from other fields. During the Trump years, they came from the economic side. Peter Navarro, the Harvard-trained economist and China hawk who served as an economic and trade policy advisor, wrote an op-ed in USA Today pointing out that many times Fauci had been wrong during the pandemic. USA Today eventually published a groveling note apologizing to readers for publishing something critical of Dr. Fauci. How many times has USA Today written these groveling apologies? Remember, They wrote the story about their, or they had the one of the young women who was who lost out on becoming a track and field champion in Connecticut, and they apologized and they cut out for the references to a biological male, and they just said a transgender woman, and they have no stones. I mean, what kind of newspaper is that that can't? Well, it's a typical newspaper, unfortunately, these days. So. Navarro did an interview with National Review. I sent out a memo to the task force in February of 2020 saying we could have a vaccine as early as November in mass production up to 150 million doses. Fauci challenged me and went out on TV and said it could be well over a year or more. Next thing I knew, I was getting attacked on CNN for what I was saying. They were actively taking Fauci's point of view. And of course, Fauci was wrong and Navarro was right. Those who disagreed with Fauci, even in private, would find themselves the subject of unflattering coverage almost immediately in the Washington Post. Fauci did go on television to say it would take 18 months to develop a vaccine. Navarro was just one example of many whose views during the COVID crisis that year were dismissed as disinformation across the media at every single turn. He's a cutthroat in the media game, Fauci is. Even when his critics are right, they get cashiered, and Fauci wins more public accolades. Fauci had been personally involved in lobbying to exempt gain-of-function research. That's the, you know, putting the viruses on steroids, basically, into coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology from funding restrictions. Fauci will have to explain why it was that he accepted the role of pandemic hero in the first place, or why he joined a phony and a flimsy consensus that the virus had emerged in nature, or why he so consistently downplayed the risks early on, given what he must have known or suspected the minute reports emerged of a coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan. Given that he's already told us lies because the public isn't ready for the truth, how likely are his denials to be believed? Not by anyone who's not in the cult of the mask, for sure. Navarro says, my theory is that Anthony Fauci is a sociopath. He knew full well that virus came from the lab. He knew full well that he was the one who reauthorized gain of function. And day after day, for 9 months leading up to the election, he did not level with the American people. Is Navarro angry over how Fauci was lauded? You bet. It wouldn't be the first time that an outlandish and demonized theory about COVID-19 turned out to be the likeliest story. But in any event, America no longer needs a patron saint of the science. The resistance turned on and discarded every previous hero, whether it was Michael Cohen, Michael Avenatti, or even Robert Mueller. Dr. Fauci broke his own rule. He got political, and now he's about to get into trouble. Let's hope so. I mean, if he doesn't get into trouble, he's there's no real justice. I mean, I know he's 80 years old, and he's going to get an 80% pension, right? So that's like $320,000 a year, something like that. Yeah, so it's not like he's going to go hungry or anything like that. 844-500-4242, 617. So let's get this straight. It's settled science, but only until new data comes out. Then that is science, settled science. Got it? Yeah. Yeah. So if the temperature goes up to 100 degrees, it's global warming. And that's settled science. If the next day, with all this rain, the temperature goes down to 55 degrees, that's weather. Have you got that straight? There'll be a quiz on this tomorrow. All right. Have a good evening, everybody. See you tomorrow at 3. I'm Howie Carr.